All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Madsen and Sterling Bennett with analysis, sound from the locker room, and your reaction to the game. When the clock hits zero, we bring you overtime. Take it away, boys.
Wow. Wow. 49ers blow a fourth quarter lead in LA to the Rams. Final score in LA, 27-24. Welcome into overtime here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Grady, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. The Niners are 1-2 after 3 weeks. They beat the Jets. They lose to the Vikings. They lose to the Rams, who are down like their 5 most important players other than Matthew Stafford. And the Niners blow a huge second half lead. One of the more frustrating losses I can remember in my Niner fandom history. The 49ers lose this game, 27-24. Guys, welcome into overtime. Again, it's Mark Grady, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett with you. I'll turn it over to you guys. I don't know what the hell we just watched. The collapse by the 49ers in the second half, and specifically in that fourth quarter, it was something to behold, and not in a good way. That was one of the more frustrating and embarrassing 49er performances that I can remember in quite a long time.
That's an abomination. What happened, especially defensively in that second half? Their inability to come up with anybody besides Juwan Jennings to come up with a play on offense. A missed field goal, a botched punt coverage. You got flags on the final drive that just made things easier for the Rams. Outside of Juwan Jennings and Brock Purdy, I don't know what went right for the 49ers today.
Nothing in that second half, in that fourth quarter especially, nothing. The offense was a one-trick pony of Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings, and it was great. 3 touchdowns is great. We were having a career day for Juwan Jennings. We're all celebrating, saying, yes, this looks like near Super Bowl MVP Juwan Jennings. But he can't, the defense can't cover anybody. They can't cover backup tight ends. Too many penalties, botched punt coverages, missed field goals. I don't know what I'm looking at, but it is not the San Francisco 49ers.
No doubt.
This is not 2023. You can't rest on your laurels. You have to look yourself in the mirror and say, what football team are we going to be in 2024? And right now, it's under 500 and not very good.
Sterling, you said dear Super Bowl MVP Juwan Jennings. I mean, he was all that and more. 11 catches, 175 yards, and 3 touchdowns. His first career 100-yard receiving game. Yards and touchdowns, career highs. Also receptions, 11 of them. He was awesome in this game. You also got, like, regular season MVP Brock Purdy. He was awesome in this game throughout the entire game, I thought. He had himself a really, really nice day. The offense, I mean, 24 points against this Rams defense, maybe you'd hope for more. The offense, though, wasn't the problem, although, Sterling, you are right. It was a little bit of a one-trick pony offense. Brock to Juwan, Brock to Juwan, Brock to Juwan. There were some nice moments on the ground from Jordan Mason and even Isaac Garendo, but the defense in the second half, the Rams are without their top 2 pass catchers in Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. They're down 3 starting offensive linemen. And by the way, even when this offensive line is healthy, guys, it's one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. So make a bad offensive line that much worse, and they got everything they wanted on you in the second half, and specifically in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, you were up by 10 points, 24-14, after Jake Moody made a field goal early in the quarter. The rest of the game, It was 13-0 in favor of the Rams. Absolutely disgusting performance from the 49ers when it mattered most. We're used to them coming out and controlling fourth quarters and winning games down the stretch. It was the opposite. A depleted Rams team looked fresher, looked more composed, made all the big plays, didn't make the terrible mistakes. It was a reversal from the way we've seen the Niners play this Rams team in past matchups.
Honestly, I went into today so worried about the Niners offense. Like, what is Brandon Ayuk going to look like? Can Juwan Jennings hold up to a larger workload? How do they operate without George Kittle? They go 6.5 yards per play on offense. They outgained the Rams 425-296. The 49ers didn't turn the ball over. Everything they did offensively wins you most every game you play. And you guys said it with Tutu Atwell's cooking you. And a 36-year-old Matt Stafford behind a couple of traffic cones and a set of Lincoln Logs is cooking you. And Jordan Whittington's getting his. Whoever that is. Sixth-round pick from Texas, apparently. That's a guy I knew about before today, for sure. It was just embarrassing, dude. Like, there's no other way to put this. And at some point, okay, first game against the Jets, they only give up the 19 points, and really it was 12 because there was a garbage time touchdown, but the Jets, the Niners couldn't get off the field on third down. Same thing happened last week against the Vikings. And then you come into this week against this version of the Rams, and you can't get off the field when it matters again? Like, I'm looking at personnel-wise, you're looking at largely the same defense they had last year. They were supposed to make upgrades in the pass rush. Is Leonard Floyd playing for the 49ers this year?
Jeez.
Just anyone? No?
Doesn't look like it.
The first time I noticed him today was when he got called for an illegal hands to the face. Just not an impactful, yeah. Not an impactful pass rusher. They get Talanoa Hufanga back today. Treverius Ward and Diamador Lenore have taken steps and Ward is an all pro last year. Like, personnel wise, they should be fine, right? So I'm looking at Nick Sorensen now and going, hey, did they pick the right guy? Because whatever adjustment they need to make, they're very clearly not making it. Because this is a problem 3 weeks in a row now.
Well, they run bunches on third down a handful of times. The defense secondary gets beat. Devondre Campbell gets beat twice on the exact same play to Atwell and Parkinson late. They have three penalties on the same play on defense.
Brutal.
Come on. It's undisciplined. You look like, at least Nick Sorensen looks like he's head over heels. He has no idea what's going on at the time. You're not getting pressure on Stafford. When you get pressure, you're not bringing him down a handful of times. Like, this looks like what they looked like last year when they lost three games in a row.
Yep.
And they've lost two games in a row. When you get to the quarterback, sack the quarterback. And I'm sorry, without Christian McCaffrey, that sucks. That's the reality you live in. No Debo Samuel, no George Kittle. Yeah, you don't have all your weapons at your disposal. But Juwan Jennings caught 11 balls today for 175 yards, three touchdowns. Your supposed near MVP winning quarterback was really good today.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't bring it home? You get beat on the road in a situation that is set up to have the perfect get right game after losing in somewhat humiliating fashion against the Vikings last week, who looked pretty darn good this week,
mind you.
But still, you let Matthew Stafford get hot at the end of the first half and he never cooled off. You had no answer for a 36-year-old quarterback, however old he is, who had no weapons. No weapons. And you got beat. Embarrassing. Embarrassing today.
Yep, you guys are right. Embarrassing. It's the right word for this performance. It was an absolutely pitiful performance in the second half, and the 49ers didn't. They looked like a team that I didn't even recognize. You guys talked about how this team has had so many memorable performances, and it's them controlling second halves, and this was the complete opposite of that. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. One sec, Kyle. We're just getting going. We want to hear from you guys all afternoon. We'll go as long as you guys want to, so give us a call. Line them up. What's your frustration with this 49er performance? 888-957-9570. It's Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling with you, because Kyle, there is plenty to be upset about. This is not just a one player or one possession or one moment here or there. This goes around for almost everybody not named Juwan Jennings, maybe Brock Purdy. Everybody else deserves a little bit of blame for what happened today.
What happened today, guys, is what would have happened last week had Fred Warner not been Superman.
Against a much worse team today.
Yes. Against a way worse team. And that's the concern. Like, that's okay. It's week 3. Are the 49ers going to automatically not go to the Super Bowl because they lost in week three? No. Is the season over? No. But when you start looking at trends and what this team is going to look like in 3, 4, 5 weeks, it doesn't look good on that side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball. And we're so used to this being a defense-first team. And when Christian McCaffrey goes down and then they're dealing with all their injury stuff, you're going, okay, well, hey, their defense is still going to be there. Their defense is still going to lock in. And they just haven't. And you see, you saw it last week. Fred Warner gets the interception. He punches the ball out at the goal line on Aaron Jones. Get a couple of takeaways to score off those takeaways. And yeah. Wow, look at the Niners. This week, there wasn't that. They didn't have the takeaways. And when they didn't get that, they didn't get stops. They didn't get them late in the game. You have Tre'Davious Ward getting cooked by Tutu Atwell on the deep shot late in the game. The punt coverage was abysmal on that final punt.
That's the last thing you can have in that moment.
You cannot have... Kick it out of bounds. Launch it out of the back of the end zone. Do literally anything other than let them have the ball at the freaking 50. It's just...
Once that happens, you know Matt Stafford's getting 15 yards. At
easy
least.
Work. That's
you know,
easy work.
No doubt.
Yeah. Because I don't know about you guys, but when they get the ball at the 50, I had zero confidence that the Niners could come up with a stop.
No, same. Game was over.
Game was done.
Yeah.
And you can't have that. With a defense with this many good players on it, that's embarrassing. You can't have that.
I mean, you can argue the minute Jake Moody missed that field goal, it was like, uh-oh.
Yep.
This is not going to go how we like. And it's not a shot at Jake Moody, although make a field goal, my friend. Kyle Shanahan said, this is the most comfortable I felt with the kicker, 50-plus yards. Well, 55, with the game on the line to ice the game to, if anything, if they score a field goal, well, the game's tied. They're going to overtime right now. You miss it. This is a almost complete failure in every single facet. The edge rushers aren't getting pressure. They're terrible run defense. Isaac Yiadom's getting cooked by backups on backups on backups. Yep. He was getting cooked against Josh Naylor or Jalen Naylor last week and Brandon Powell. Now he's getting cooked against I don't even know who else plays for the Rams outside of Atwell and Whittington. That's all I know. I mean, they didn't have their two top wide receivers, their starting tight end, three offensive linemen out. John Johnson, their safety, he's not playing. And it looked like almost everybody else was invisible but Juwan Jennings and Brock Purdy, who, give Brock Purdy credit, when everyone's covered, he's running around for 35 seconds and 110 yards himself trying to find 3 yards to give Jake Moody a field goal chance, and they still can't win this game. When your quarterback is making plays like an MVP should, and you still can't win, something is wrong with the San Francisco 49ers. And it's not just one thing. It is many, many things.
Yep. Yeah, you got 11 catches, 175 yards, and 3 touchdowns from Juwan Jennings. You got 22 for 30 for Brock Purdy, 292, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, did not turn the ball over. There was a moment where you thought maybe he fumbled on a quarterback sneak, but he was down. You get those performances on offense, and you're the San Francisco 49ers and what you're talking about, you shouldn't lose to anybody, let alone to this team, which was on the doorstep of having their season end in week three,
yeah.
Because they're down so many players because they're about to fall to 0-3 on the year. And, you know, part of this maybe is the Rams fighting for their lives. You don't really get that generally in week number three, but that's no excuse for the 49ers. You wasted an all-time performance by Juwan Jennings, by far the best game of Brock Purdy's season, one of the better games he's played last year included. You waste that and lose to this team, a team that you have historically dominated in the regular season at the least, and this is by far the most lopsided the matchup has been in quite a while because the Rams are down every single one of their key players other than Matt Stafford. It is absolutely inexcusable for this team to lose this game. You got so many things to go your way, and you let Kyren Williams running behind a bunch of nobodies get 5, 6, 7 yards a pop every single time in the second half, and you couldn't stop it. And then you let Tutu Atwell run past you down the sideline when the only thing you can't do is let someone go over the top against you. There was like 10 different moments to point to where you say, that was a back-breaking mistake. That was a back-breaking mistake. That was a back-breaking mistake. And what's even more frustrating is the only way the Niners lose this game if all 10 of those back-breaking mistakes happen. And guess what? All 10 of those back-breaking mistakes happened. It was an absolutely incredible collapse to watch. Not that I'm happy about it, but watching it from afar, just seeing this turn the way it did, absolutely insane. Like, watch watching a car crash. You can't look away from it. It was wild.
It's like a slow motion train wreck. Because you could see it happening the whole way.
Yeah.
Sterling, you said it.
You could feel it coming.
When they settle for the 55-yard field goal, we're sitting in here and we're going, hey, if he misses this, it's going to be a problem.
Well,
they're going to get great field position if he misses.
And then to Sterling's point, this is the most comfortable Shanahan's ever been with a field goal kicker. If he was left less comfortable, like maybe Robbie Gould, who wasn't so sure about the range,
yeah,
he would have punted that. Maybe you down him inside the 10 and maybe mm-hmm. you end up winning the game anyway. You never really know.
Yeah.
But
and this is where this is. I really think the defensive struggles are kind of the focus for me. And
yeah.
And for the most part, I thought Brock Purdy was very good today. One of the interesting things, though, or one of the concerning things, though, and I think this is the product of no Christian McCaffrey, no Debo Samuel, no George Kittle, is he looked so hesitant at times to push the ball down the field. And all those plays where he's scrambling around, I don't think that's players not necessarily being open. I think that's Brock Purdy not being comfortable airing it out to Brandon Ayuk. He threw a dot to Ronnie Bell last offensive drive.
Would've won the game.
That was ball game, and
get
Ronnie Bell drops
it.
He's got to go. He really does. If you're not pulling that down,
he's the receiver on the roster.
Terrace Marshall can catch that.
That was one of
Terrace Marshall. Yeah, and it wasn't like
he was targeted three times, one catch, two drops.
I mean, come on, man.
And the second one
was the ball game.
Yeah, would have ended the game.
And it's not
dime.
New.
No.
He's been doing it in training camp for 2 years. Oh, he can block. He can block. I'm sorry, you're a wide receiver. You're paid to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Where is Jacob Cowling? I get no Debo, and Pearsall has his thing. I get that. He ain't got nobody else? I mean, put Braden Willis out there for all I care, man. He'll at least catch the ball sometimes. He'll catch it 2 out of 3 times, not 1 out of 3 times. Like, my goodness. Like, I get the personnel isn't exactly there for Brock Purdy. He doesn't have his stars out there. But you're keeping guys that are actively anchoring your roster down. And today, it cost him a game.
Yeah. Yep. Niners blow a 10-point fourth-quarter lead on the road, although was it really on the road? It was like 65% red in SoFi. The Niners ultimately, basically, they blew a 10-point lead at home in the fourth quarter to the Los Angeles Rams. The final score is 27-24, and it's overtime here on 95.7 The Game with Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett. We're with you guys all afternoon into the evening long here on this Sunday. Let out your frustrations. There's plenty of frustration to go around, and there's so many reasons to be upset if you're a 49er fan. Let's kick things off by heading out to the phone lines. The Observer joins us from Austin, Texas. What's up, The Observer? You're on OT after a rough Niners loss. How you doing?
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to Kyle Shanahan's coaching. I think it takes a certain type of player in order to execute his game plans, both offensively and defensively. And as a result of that, he leans towards people who are more cerebral that can carry out his game plan, but lack athleticism. And my observation is, just from afar, is that I find the 49ers old, slow, and unathletic.
Yeah, the Observer, appreciate the call. Yeah, go ahead.
I could not agree more with the Observer. One of my biggest gripes with Kyle Shanahan is that. Is we watched Andy Reid. Let's rewind real quick.
Yeah.
2022. When Andy Reid and the Chiefs came to Levi Stadium and Mecole Hardman cooks the 49ers. End arounds and jet sweeps and all this crazy stuff because Andy Reid recognizes that Mecole Hardman was faster than everybody on the field and went, hey, we're going to design ways. Is he an awesome receiver? No, but we're going to design ways, creative ways to get the ball in his hands and we're going to let him run. On the other sideline is a player like Danny Gray who, as a rookie in 2022, had one catch. And there's no designs to just get Danny Gray the football and let him be fast. It's, oh, hey, he doesn't line up within the exact quarter yard that I need him to line up. Oh, and when he runs that route, he cuts it off at a 47-degree angle instead of 45, and we just can't have that. That's insane.
And he missed this one block time.
Oh, dude, you don't even get me started about the block he missed. No, and this isn't, caution myself with this because I think Kyle Shanahan's a really good coach. I think that he is the guy. I think he's going to win Super Bowl or Super Bowls as a head coach. I think he's there. But I think something that he has to get out of his way is exactly what the Observer is talking about, is let your athletes cook a little bit. And I think that is a little bit of a problem when we talk about the Niners not getting separation and all these failed draft picks. And it's like, man, maybe if you just get the ball in their hands and get creative with it instead of just relying on exactly. Okay, I needed this play to be exactly executed at this very precise way. No, man, let your dudes go play football.
Well, I think that goes back to Kyle Shanahan. In his mind, it's play calling over the players.
Mm-hmm.
If my play calling is you got to trust what I'm going to call every single play. If you run exactly what I tell you, we're going to win. And they win a lot. And they're a darn good team. And this year, despite being 1-2, they can still be a darn good team. But take what you just said, Kyle, today. Danny Gray, who doesn't play for us anymore, doesn't play in San Francisco. Jacob Cowing's out there. He's got 4.3 speed. And I don't know if that's the determining factor in this game, getting him some touches. We have no idea. There's a lot of things that went wrong today. But my goodness, end-arounds, jet sweeps, get something going on with some speed. I'm sorry, the Rams' defense, for as, I guess, mediocre as it may be, for as bad as their secondary is, it's hard to catch a guy, no matter how fast you are, when you run 4.3. There is a way to, especially when you don't have Christian McCaffrey, and you don't have Debo, and you don't have your dynamic athletes that can change a game with one single touch, manufacture something, even if it doesn't work, you keep the opposing defense honest. It's almost the exact same thing as taking deep shots early in the game. Take a deep shot early. Mm-hmm. Keep Tre'Davious White with a bum leg. Keep him honest. We're going to test you all day, Tre'Davious. And guess what? It worked early in this one. Never happened again. Never happened again. Ayuk was a non-factor come the second half. There was no, I don't want to say creativity, but in the fourth quarter, late in the third quarter, it was Brock, five wide, draw back, make something happen. And he did for a lot of it, but even the greatest quarterbacks need some help sometimes. And when you have a bunch of cones out there, if you will, just sitting around dropping the football, it's not going to help anybody.
Yeah, and I don't. I think we can also extend this, that our point the caller made, the Observer, talking about speed and athleticism and just getting great athletes the ball. I can also extend that to the defensive side of the football. The 49ers don't have a ton of freak athletes defensively, and I don't mean to just single out the one guy who's a stopgap until Dre Greenlaw gets healthy again. And the defense, the stars need to share a brunt of the blame for how they have performed through 2 weeks. Nick Bosa, I'm looking at you. Fred Warner, obviously you've been phenomenal all season, but he's going to shoulder some of the blame. Mooney Ward quietly has been bad through 3 weeks of the season. Yeah. But if we're talking about speed and athleticism, the opponents, doesn't matter who they are, if they're looking at Devondre Campbell every single snap and saying that's barbecue chicken.
Yep.
I mean, every single time. You talk about lack of speed and athleticism, and again, I don't mean to pick on the one guy who's not even supposed to be starting for this team, but Devondre Campbell, he is that poster boy for lack of speed and athleticism, especially when you compare it to what the guy he's starting for, Dre Greenlaw, one of the most athletic, quickest linebackers out there, alongside Fred Warner. That is a point where I look at the point that our caller made, the Observer. You look at it on defense, and that's partly how the Rams were able to win this game, because they just were running past the guys that the Niners were checking them with.
How many positive plays for the Rams today did we point out number 59 for the Niners? Either three steps too late many. Or getting cooked on a block. And here's the thing with that, Grandy. You said he's not supposed to start for this team, and I totally get what you mean. Like, Dre Greenlaw's supposed to be the guy. But the Niners knew they weren't going to have Dre Greenlaw. They seeked out Devondre Campbell, and then he was just the dude throughout camp. They never gave Curtis Robinson never got a shot to start. Jalen Graham, D. Winters, Tatum Bethune. None of these guys got a shot to start alongside Fred Warner. They said, sign, seal, deliver, Devondre Campbell. He's the guy. He's the Will linebacker. He's on the field for three downs. He's it. And there's no competition. And that's insane. And now you see why. This team, this defense that was so good, not just because of their pass rush, but because of how they controlled the second level. Mm. They were so good at coverage in the second level, where those easy throws that Matthew Stafford was just feasting on today. Because if you look at Stafford's numbers, they're not great.
16 for 25, 221 in the touchdown.
Less than 7 yards per attempt. Like, those are not awesome numbers. But everything was so easy, and there were yards after catch available because they don't have that speed and athleticism in the second level. And I'm shocked that they went with a player like Devondre Campbell, who's in his 30s and who is clearly not the player he was when he was an All-Pro in 2021, and that they didn't give one of their more athletic younger guys a shot. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if we see one of those guys either rotating in or starting at some point in Campbell's spot, because they need it so bad.
Campbell wasn't even their first choice. They signed Michael Kendricks, and he said, nope, I'm going to Dallas. They didn't even want Campbell at first.
Yikes.
And they won't even give a younger guy a chance. Now, I get it. You're kind of hamstrung. Got to put a vet in there and figure things out. But unfortunately, this year, In previous years, it was okay. They don't have a number two outside cornerback. That's the main detriment of this team, okay? They have, maybe they don't have another edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa. They have some dogs, but they don't have that one guy. This year, it's Floyd's not getting pressure. Hargrave's inconsistent. The run defense is bad. Linebacker number two can't cover, nor can he tackle. Outside cornerback number two can't cover a dime. Like, what's going on out there? Like, there are so many holes on this defense. And I go back to week one against the Jets. We all talked about, man, this defense looks stout. It looks strong. The play calling was good. It was a garbage time touchdown, 12 points. Man, what a statement win for San Francisco. The last two statements they've had is, we have so many holes, we can't just sign one guy. One guy's not going to save this defense. You have to have Renardo Green out there, Malik Mustafa, Hufanga, whoever else you can plug in some places. You need all three of those linebackers to help at this point. The offense has holes. The offensive line, it was better today, but it should have been against a pretty bad pass rush of the Rams. But Ayuk's not involved in the offense. This team has so many holes that, I'm sorry, you deserve to be 1-2. Should you be? Probably not. You should have won this game pretty handily. You're up 14-0 in the first quarter of this one. It was pretty obvious. Hey, this game could be a rout. I talked to my wife and I said, hey, honey, this one might get ugly. We might go on a little earlier today.
Well, you got
and
ugly.
I sat here and all she heard were the expletives coming out of the office saying, what's going on, honey? I was like, don't talk to me. I am in distress. What's going on? Because San Francisco can't fill the holes they currently have, and it's cost them two games in a row.
Yeah, it was 14-0 after the 49ers' first two drives, two touchdowns to Juwan Jennings, and the defense was getting the Rams off the field quickly on the other side. So 14-0, it was 21-7. That was in the third quarter on the 31-yard touchdown from Brock Purdy to Juwan Jennings. And at that point, you're thinking, oh my God, Juwan Jennings is going to make a run for NFC Offensive Player of the Week, and the Niners are going to embarrass the Rams. This is going to be awesome. Juwan kept it up. They didn't get into the end zone again. The Niners did not score another touchdown after that, but they still led by 10 with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, 24-14, and then a field goal for the Rams, a touchdown for the Rams, and a field goal for the Rams mixed in there in between all of those scores were terrible, terrible mistakes by the 49ers, and they paid the ultimate price in this one as they fall by a score of 27-24 on the road down in LA against the Rams, a Rams team that was fighting for their lives. They were in danger of falling to 0-3. They knock off the Niners. Now both the Niners and the Rams are 1-2. Seattle, meanwhile, atop the NFC West, they dominated the Tua-less Dolphins in Seattle. So the Seahawks guys, they're 3-0. The 49ers are 1-2. After week three, who had this on their bingo card? After week three, the Niners two games out of the NFC West. That is not something I was expecting to say today.
You know the worst part is there's nothing that makes me think like, oh yeah, this is going to get better soon. Christian McCaffrey's not coming back anytime soon.
What again?
Deebo Samuel's out again.
The offense wasn't really the problem today. It was the defense, and the defense is relatively whole.
Right, and that's the bigger issue. Is you have all this injury stuff on offense, okay? But okay, they seem like they're going to be okay on that front. Juwan Jennings was really good. Brock Purdy was really good today. Okay, you feel good about that, but this was going to be their easiest game for a while. Easiest, quote-unquote, every game in the NFL is hard.
Yeah.
But this version of the Rams is not good. That was not a super talented team. And now you got to go play New England, who may or may not be good. I'm not totally sure what to think about New England. But they just played Thursday. So you're going to have the rest advantage there. Then you got a division game against the Cardinals.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Cardinals lost to the Lions today, but they've looked good to start the season.
They put 40 on the Rams.
Yeah, they hung. Right.
The game was over against this team in the first quarter when the Cardinals played them.
Yeah. And then you got to go to Seattle for a short week in week six. Like, yikes, dude! They've got to figure this stuff out. They've got to figure it out quick because they're already two games back. And I don't see the schedule getting easier.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we got to take a quick break. The 49ers fall to the Rams. 27-24 is the final. We got full phone lines. We're coming to you guys next. Brian and George and Diego and Dave, I see all of you. We're coming to you on the other side as we continue on overtime. We're just getting started. If you hang out on hold, we will get to you. We're on as long as you want to talk to us here on this Sunday afternoon on 95.7 The Game. It's Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling with you. More overtime after the Niners fall in LA. Coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the kickoff show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Overtime. It's Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. The 49ers fell to the Rams today, 27-24, the final score. The Niners led by 14 at multiple points in this game. They led by 10 with 11 minutes and 57 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. In fact, we could go all the way down to about 6 minutes and 20 seconds left. The Niners led by 10. The Rams got a field goal with about 6 minutes to go in the game. Then they got a stop. They get the ball back. It was a deep shot down the right side, the 2-2 Atwell, all the way down to the 5-yard line. At that point, the 49ers suddenly thinking, oh my God, we got to conserve clock, because if the Rams score, they might ultimately go for two and the win in regulation. Little did we know, they still won in regulation, even though they didn't go for two on that touchdown that tied the game, because they got a quick stop. The Niners punted away, did not cover the punt returner, a rookie for the Rams, who returned it all the way back to near midfield, and then... Matthew Stafford does what he does best, picks apart the Niner defense, gets them into field goal range. They kill clock. They kick a field goal essentially to walk off. The Niners got to play a lateral game at the very, very end, but came nowhere near getting into the end zone and winning. And the Niners fall 27-24. They're now 1-2 on the season. And after 3 weeks, they're two games out of the lead in the NFC West. I know it's so early to be talking about playoff positioning and jockeying, but you remember how it went last year, guys. The 49ers, who were the one seed and were so good for the vast majority of the season, even then, when they were as good as they were last year, they needed help to get the one seed. Remember the Cardinals going into Philadelphia and knocking off the Eagles to help you get the one seed? It's never too early to be frustrated about a loss and what it might mean for your postseason positioning. The Niners, though, might have bigger concerns than that, because through 2 weeks, they do not look much like a playoff team.
That's where I'm going. One seed. Can they make the postseason?
Can
first?
They win the division?
Can they do any of that? Like that? But that's kind of where things are at. Here, I'm trying to decide. I need you guys to help me out here. I'm so sick of looking at this box score. Because everything in this box score says the 49ers should have won.
Yeah.
And I can't decide if that's encouraging or not.
Total yards, 425 to 296 in favor of the Niners.
Yeah, Brock Purdy, 73.3% completion rate. He averaged 9.7 yards per attempt. Only took one sack. He had three touchdowns. Jordan Mason, 77 yards. He went 4.1 a pop. He got Juwan Jennings with a 175 and three touchdowns. I mean, how did this happen?
It's a good question.
And so, I can't determine if it's like, man, the Niners played that well and still lost. That's brutal. Or if it's, hey, you know what? Football, they had a missed field goal, they had a fumble, like little things happen, and then the game got away from them, they wind up losing. And the fake punt, of course, was in there. I don't think we mentioned that yet. That drive, going into that drive where the Rams had the fake punt, they had 10 plays in their first two drives, and it was going to be another short drive, and then the fake punt happens. They went on a 16-play touchdown drive.
That was the end of the first half, basically.
I've decided it's bad.
I'm with you. It is bad. Matthew Stafford hadn't completed a pass in the game until that drive.
Come on.
Yeah. It's almost like debating, oh, we were almost there. We're so close. A few more tweaks and we'll actually win some games. Or it's like, oh my goodness, are we actually this bad? Like, I hate to say it's reality, but you just lost to the Rams who didn't have nine starters. And those starters weren't just, a guard. They were a center. They have a rookie center playing who was taking it to Hargrave a lot today, and Malik Collins. And they didn't have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. You tell any fan, Niner fan or not, tell a Rams fan, you're not going to have Cooper Kupp, you're not going to have Puka Nacua, you're not going to have nine starters, and you're playing San Francisco. They're going to think we're going to lose that game by 20. And they won the game by 3. They're going to say, what happened? San Francisco played down to their opponent. Kyle Shanahan said in the postgame that we had ample opportunity to win this game and not just win, run away with it. And it was almost like you're playing tag with your friends. You're just so close to getting away, and they get that shirt tail and they get you and they go, tag, you're it. And you're like, wait, what just happened? How'd you get me? Every time the San Francisco 49ers scored a point in this game, it was like, oh, here we go. Gonna run away with this one. And the Rams just kept standing right behind him. They were right there, just hanging around until San Francisco blinked. And unfortunately, they blinked a lot in this game, enough for a terrible, terrible Rams team to come back and win.
Yeah.
Yep, and they lose by a final score of 27-24. The Rams get their first win of the year. The 49ers lose their second in a row. Both these teams are 1-2. Top of the NFC West is the Seahawks at 2-0. The Cardinals also lost today, so they are 1-2. You've got 3-0 Seahawks, and then three teams sitting at 1-2 in the NFC West right now. Okay, as promised, back out to the phones we go. 888-957-9570. Up next is Brian, who's in San Jose. Brian, you're on overtime. It's Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling with you. How do you feel after that Niner loss, Brian?
I mean, my first question is, we pay Ayuk $30 million a year, okay? I want to give a shout out to Billy Mills out there on the road who wanted to pay this guy. We got Jennings. So what was Jennings, Jeff Mills? What was Jennings? $8 million a year. 11 out of 12? 11 for 12. What are we doing? What are we doing? I feel like we pay all these guys and they just reap this, you know, they reap the benefits of their money and we never see him again, right? Where's CMC? He got paid. Where's Debo? He got paid. Where's our defensive guy, Bosa? Did he play today? He played today. He might as well not have played today.
I thought he was
good. He was nowhere to be seen. So I'm tired of paying these guys the guaranteed contracts, and they don't do anything.
Appreciate the call, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Nick Bosa was good today. He didn't have a sack. Nick Bosa was all over the place. Nick Bosa was the only guy hanging out in the backfield with any regularity. It was not a Nick Bosa problem. Brandon Ayuk, yeah, we can talk about 10 targets, 5 catches, 48 yards. That's not why the Niners lost today. If you have an issue with how the 49ers pay players or their team building, okay, that's fine, I guess. But that wasn't the issue.
They called Jed York.
they had scored 7 points today, then yeah, let's talk about Brandon Ayuk going 5 for 48. But that's just so far down the list of things that is concerning today.
It is concerning,
Christian
though.
Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel are hurt. What are we talking about? I don't. That's crazy.
I'll say the decision to pay Ayuk isn't something that I'm questioning, but Ayuk, buddy, you got to be a little bit better.
You got to catch the football.
The whatever the reason was, and this is something Sterling and I got into last week on Overtime after the loss in Minnesota, whether it was Ayuk not separating because he's not up to football speed, or if it's a little bit of a disconnect between Purdy and Ayuk, or maybe Ayuk's in a little bit of a doghouse again because Shanahan's upset at how the offseason went. Whatever the reason is, okay, put all that aside. You're down McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle. You have an all-pro receiver. This is your time to shine. And what happened? The only person that Brock wanted to throw the ball to was Juwan Jennings. And it's not a knock on Juwan. It just might tell you a little something about how life is right now for Purdy and Ayuk as a connection. It's not working out. He turned half of his targets into receptions, and the longest one went for 12 yards. You need more from your all-pro receiver. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
But it didn't start that way. Through the first three drives of this game, including plays that had penalties, Ayuk was targeted 10 times. There was an effort to get him the ball early in this game. And whether he dropped the football or not, sure, those are bad. Catch the football, your receiver getting paid $30 million, got to do your job. Mm-hmm. In the second half, it was almost as if it was like Ayuk's not even playing on the field. It was like Ronnie Bell's getting more targets than Brandon Ayuk in the second half. It's like Purdy isn't even looking his way. In fact, there are times where Purdy isn't even wanting to take checkdowns to Jordan Mason, who was wide open for 3 or 4 yards for free on second down. Is that a Purdy problem? Sure, but going back to Ayuk, you can't play a full half of and go, oh, wow, Ayuk's back in the fray. Things are on a upward trajectory. In the second half, it's like, is he benched? I don't even see him out there. What's going on? And the YouTube chat's talking about Purdy missing Ayuk deep on that last drive of the game. Okay, whatever. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I wasn't out there. The broadcast view isn't the best view there may be. But still, you have to have more from your stars. When your stars are out and you still have more stars left over, they got to play like stars.
Yep.
That's what they're paid to do.
So I actually think that the play Sterling's talking about is an important one here, because they showed that behind the quarterback angle, mm-hmm. and you see Ayuk, yeah. he gets inside leverage on the corner and he's gone. But in that spot, that's Purdy wanting to keep the clock running.
Yep.
And not having that, this to your point, Grandy, and not having that faith in Brandon Ayuk to be like, yep, I'm uncorking this. Because that's what makes Brock Purdy great, is he's going, hey, I'm making this throw. I'm at fourth down last week against Minnesota, tight window to Juwan Jennings down the field, like 28 yards or whatever it was. Like, man, that's gutsy. And that kind of gutsy throw is what makes Brock Purdy special. But it's clear that he and Ayuk, whatever is going on there, they're just not on the same page yet. I think they'll get there. I'm not worried about Brandon Ayuk long term. But right. to your guys' point, if he's in camp, maybe Purdy feels really good about that deep ball. Maybe he feels good enough that, hey, I can get air into this. I trust that Brandon Ayuk's going to run under it. But hey, it was more important to keep the clock moving in that moment, and so that's what he tried to do. I'm on both sides of this, because Brandon, they need more from him, flat out. No question. On the other side, that's not why they lost today.
Right.
I thought they did enough offensively. My bigger issue is whatever the heck is going on defensively, where they can't get stops in key moments.
Yeah, you gained 425 total yards of offense. You averaged 6.5 per play. Like, that wins you 90% of the football games that you're going to play, and somehow you found a way to lose this one. And we're sitting here having watched the game, having talked about the game for darn near an hour already, and it's hard to find one reason, because there are so many things to point to and so many mistakes. We've also got so many callers to get to, so let's keep that rolling here on Overtime. It's Grandy, Sterling, and Kyle with you. Up next is George in San Jose. George, what's up? You're on Overtime at 95.7 The Game. How you feeling?
No Cooper Kupp. No Puka Nacua. What are they doing out there? This is the most terrible loss in the last 4 years.
Mm.
Why? What's going on, man? They put out Ronnie Bell out there. He's dropping balls all day long. It's third and forever. He's right there, wide open. He's dropping the ball. And another thing, Campbell, he can't cover in the flats. Why is he out there? Kyle Shanahan is looking like Steve Kerr. He doesn't want to play no young guys. Why don't give Witches a chance? What's going on, man? This is the worst loss in 4 years. You guys need to burn this team and tearing them apart right now, man, because we are frustrated out here. This is a terrible loss. Terrible loss.
Yeah, George. I mean,
are we being nice?
Terrible.
So he's disgusting. Heinous, abominable.
All the abhorrent. Above.
Insufferable.
I'm trying to think, is that their worst regular season loss in the last 4 years?
The Broncos one was pretty bad.
The Broncos, but even that, like...
The Jimmy Garoppolo safety game.
Well, yeah. Week one against the Bears that same year was also pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, good point.
But it was raining, Mark. It was raining, and it was Trey Lance's first start of the year.
Yeah, I have a hard time disagreeing with the caller on that. That's their worst loss.
Well, last year, for example. Yeah. They win 5 games in a row, then you lose 3. You can afford to lose those games. You're 1-1. You can't afford to lose a game like this. And you don't just lose. You lose in heartbreaking fashion against a much, much worse team. There's no rope to kind of give you a break. You have to win early, because like you said earlier, Kyle, you got Buffalo on the road later, Green Bay on the road later, in December, in the potentially the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, who knows, in Kansas City, in Dallas, and Baker Mayfield somehow really good this year. Like, it's not going to get easier. You have to win games like this to give yourself a leash, because you're probably going to lose more games later on in the season.
Yep. Yeah, it does, and you're right. You have an incredibly challenging schedule in the second half, which is why it's why. I mean, it is entirely wrong saying it now. I was very wrong, but when the Christian McCaffrey IR decision came down, I was thinking, well, better to be without McCaffrey for this part of the schedule than later on, and that still might be true. It's definitely true. You hope that you have him as soon as possible once he's eligible to come off of IR, but I felt there was a decent chance that even without McCaffrey, guys, you could be 4-1 if things break right. You could maybe be 5-0 by the time he potentially comes back, and now you're looking at 3-2, and your fingers are crossed that you hope that's what you are, and you darn well might be 2-3 at that point.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
It's bad. That's what I've decided after careful consideration. The caller's right. That's their worst
loss in the last 4 years. Worst
regular season loss under Kyle Shanahan. Over the last 7 years, whatever it is. There's definitely not a worse one. I just went through the schedules. Like last year, they lose to Cleveland, Minnesota, and Cincinnati. Cleveland, they missed a game-winning field goal. Minnesota, they did the zero blitz at the end of the half, and Minnesota gets the big touchdown. Cincinnati, they just got outplayed. That was going into the bye week. Remember, that was Steve Wilkes coming down to the field, coming out of the bye. But the difference is, they beat the Steelers 30-7. They beat the Rams 30-23. Giants 30-12. Cardinals 35-16. Cowboys 42-10. They were smoking teams. And then they go on this little losing skid, and it's like, okay. But you see, I don't have any proof of concept that this year's team is good. I don't. And are they banged up? Like, yeah, for sure. But you got to play with the guys that you have, and you have to play the schedule that's in front of you. I don't have any inkling or any reason to believe that this version of the 49ers is going to just suddenly rip off 9 of their next 10 and everything's going to be hunky-dory and fine. There's no reason to believe that beyond, well, last year they were good. I don't care about last year, man.
Right.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Like, Sterling, let me ask you this. If you are, like, you had your mind completely wiped or you had never watched Niners football before and I just dropped you into this season without any context, you didn't know that they have, 10 of the top 75 players in the NFL. You didn't know any of that. You just plop you in, you're a newbie to the game of football, and you watch the Niners through 2 weeks. What would you think about them, honestly? You wouldn't think that they're a Super Bowl favorite.
No, I think they're maybe a borderline playoff team.
Maybe.
They're going to be fighting for a wild card. This feels like 2021 all over again. And even that team had some leeway. Even that team was like, okay, I can understand a slow start here or there. Two different quarterbacks to begin the year. Whereas this season's like, what is the problem? Oh, wait, there's so many. They're undisciplined. They don't cover on punts. They don't tackle on punts. They let their punts get blocked. That's just special teams. They miss field goals. They don't cover linebackers. Running backs. The defense is, by all intents and purposes, a bottom 16 unit. They're not top 10. They ain't top 15. It's Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and a bunch of I hope so's and maybe will be's. And that's not good for a team that's supposed to be fighting for a Super Bowl this year. This is the quote-unquote last dance, if you will. This is the last dance. They're playing the worst possible song to dance to because it's not fun. They're playing Darude Sandstorm. And you're like, what do I do? Where do I put my hands? I have no idea what's going on. It's a mess right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. 888-957-9570. The Niners fall to the Rams 27-24. They blow a 14-point lead. They blow a 10-point fourth-quarter lead. And they're now 1-2, staring at a two-game deficit between them and the top of the NFC West with the Seattle Seahawks. Up next is Diego in Sacramento. Diego, you're on overtime here on 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Diego?
I'm disappointed, man. Shanahan needs to let the rookies cook. He needs to bench Bell. He needs to put Cowan in. He's the only fast wide receiver we have that can take the top off, all right? And then also, too, he needs to bench Brown. Brown has been getting burned on all the deep routes. If you notice, every deep route that has hurt us, it's always Brown helping in coverage. They need to bench him, put Mustafa in, and they need to trade Hargrave and send him to the Jets and try to get Hassan Reddick because, like you said, what we have now is not working, and we need to put D winners in. We need to shake up now. Because if we don't, we may fall back so far behind, we won't even sniff the wild card. So hopefully we can turn it around, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Diego. I mean, I think Diego's right at the very least. Maybe not about the trade idea, potentially. But he's definitely right to be worried about the defense. This is a major, major, major concern. And we talk so much about the offense and all the all-pros you have out there. You've got a lot of really good players on defense as well. You know Nick Bosa, obviously. You know Fred Warner. Mooney Ward, a awesome corner a year ago, is having a rough start to begin this season. Javon Hargrave now in his second year with the Niners. Finally had a sack today, but other than that, didn't do anything all that special and has been incredibly consistently not good as a Niner. You need more from him. Floyd, who you acquired to put on the opposite side of Nick Bosa, has a sack this season, but again, hasn't done anything that special yet either. There's big name players on this defense that aren't really giving you anything through 3 weeks, and that is very, very frightening, especially when you consider this was the same thing that caused them all these issues last year as well.
They made two trades for defensive ends in the middle of the season last year because they couldn't rush the passer. So to mitigate that this offseason, they went and got Leonard Floyd,
who's been a very good pass rusher in his career.
Yeah, for throughout his career.
Incredibly consistent.
Awesome. And just nothing last week. I'd be shocked if he gets credited with a pressure this week after having none last year. He's just a non-factor. And Javon Hargrave, okay, yeah, he had a sack today. He's disruptive in the middle, but not nearly as consistently as they were probably hoping. And it's Malik Collins, and it's Jordan Elliott, and it's Kevin Gitt. Okay, that's a nice little rotation. But where are the impact players on the defensive line? Like, that was supposed to be this group's bread and butter. They were getting pushed around in the run game. They were not generating any pass rush in the passing game. They're just not doing anything particularly well. And the caller was talking about Jair Brown. I'm not at bench Jair Brown stages yet, because if you go watch Malik Mustafa when he came in against the Vikings, it wasn't super pretty.
Yeah, let's also not bench him for George Odom either.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do any of that. So I'm not necessarily there, but I look at the secondary is the least of my worries right now. Like, you can nitpick Jair Brown or Isaac Yiadom or whatever. Where's their pass rush? Where's this overhauled defensive line where they added five new players? Where are they? What are they doing? Because today it wasn't nearly enough.
Well, the team was pitched the idea of getting back to basics, getting back to who you once were before Steve Wilks. We're talking Robert Saleh and DeMeco Ryans of read and react, go get the quarterback, and that will help your secondary be better. Go back to 2019. It was Richard Sherman in his last really great year in the NFL, undrafted free agent Emmanuel Mosley, and Kaywan Williams, who underrated, but, you know, still, it really isn't a big name. They made those guys look like $100. Jimmy Ward, Jaquiski Tartt, this team was in the Super Bowl with the lead in the fourth quarter. Hate to bring it up, but I'm sorry. And we're sitting here like, you put more money into your defensive line now than that team in 2019. You put more money into your defensive line this year than last year's team. And it shouldn't take to trade for two more players to get guys like Javon Hargrave to play up to their money value.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Yep. He was a great player in Pittsburgh, a really good player in Philadelphia. That same great player has not transferred over to San Francisco. And we heard, oh, he lost 20 pounds, 10 pounds, the body's right, he's going to be faster and quicker. You're faster and quicker getting shoved to the ground by backup offensive linemen against the Rams?
Yep.
And I like Hargrave. He's a great guy, nice guy, always good to the media. Cool. That's cool, man. Get it. You got to play. And Nick Sorensen, how many times did we see him run stunts and get Leonard Floyd moved out of the play entirely?
Insane.
You can't do that. You are, as a defensive coordinator, you want to let your guys go get the quarterback, just, you know, snap your fingers, green light, go Nick Bosa, go Leonard Floyd. Don't get them moved out of the play, giving Stafford 8 seconds to throw. You give a great quarterback like Matthew Stafford, and he's still a darn great quarterback. He's probably top five still, the way he can use that arm he has. You can't give that guy time. Even with backup receivers, he'll beat you. And he did today. Something's got to change, not just players, but even the defensive mindset of the play calls, what you're running. They're taking their own players out of the plays. That can't happen.
Yeah, they are. Let's sneak in one more call before we hit a quick break here on Overtime. Up next is Matt in Tracy. Matt, what's up? You're on with Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling. How you doing?
Hey, not too good. But all right, couple points here. Safety's been bad all year. Like the last caller said, Brown and number 22, he's doing bad too. I know he's not a safety. Shanny, super questionable clock management. I want to take you back to three quick points. At the end of the first half, less than 2 minutes to go, Shanny let 30 seconds run off the clock before he called his first timeout. It's like he never wants the ball back at the end of the half. At the very end, the Niners had a minute and 20 left. You can't give the Rams the ball back. You got to either run the clock or try to kick the game-winning field goal. We seem to never even have the thought in our heads that the other team is allowed to do a fake field goal or punt for the last 4 years. Ronnie Bell, 3 drop passes. I mean, he's got Brock Purdy back there scrambling instead of just handing it off at the end when we're trying to kill some time to go. It's like another fourth quarter, double-digit lead blown. Horrible loss today. I mean, I don't even know where else to go. B.A. and Trent Warner hold out. They get paid. They don't show up for 2 weeks. Trent Williams with 2 holding calls today. He needed an IV at half. Brandon Ayuk hasn't ran a good route or caught anything in 3 weeks. Our schedule's not getting any easier. Our injuries are piling up. We're not going to make the playoffs if we keep this up. A lot of teams in the NFC got better this year. Wait till we play a QB like Mahomes or someone who's actually good, not someone at the end of their career. That's all I got, boys. This was horrible. You guys are being too nice to the guys today.
Appreciate the call, Matt. I mean, you make a lot of good points. I think there's something to we can defend Shanahan a little bit on some of the play clock and the using the time, because at the end of the game you're kind of balancing between trying to win in regulation and need time to do that versus also not giving the Rams the ball back with any time. But then ultimately Brock Purdy running for his life and ultimately they have to punt the ball away. You would have been fine though if you just covered the punt and we wouldn't even be talking about that specific moment. Maybe you lose in overtime. Who knows how it all would have went down. But
or if Ronnie Bell hangs on.
Or if Ronnie Bell holds on to it, and then you run the ball a couple of times, kill the final 25 seconds, and then kick a field goal, and you win the game.
Just
that
gross.
Very, very quickly, easily could have happened that way as well. All right, we got to take a break.
Could have missed the field goal, too.
You're right. He could have.
Well, but at least, they already did.
At least then, Sterling, it would have been overtime, not a loss in regulation.
Right,
and who knows
right.
what would have happened in overtime. Maybe it would have been even uglier, although that is hard to believe. Okay, time for a break. Overtime continues. Niners fall to the Rams, 27-24, 1 hour down. We're with you for at least, I don't know, 2 more hours. As long as you guys got calls, we will stay on the air. We will also hear from Kyle Shanahan, who has addressed the media postgame. We will hear that as well as overtime continues. It's great. Randy, Kyle, and Sterling with you. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.